Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from the UK, Claire Pedrick. Claire, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ashutosh.
Thank you. Claire is the founding partner of 3D Coaching. She's an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. She's an author of books titled Simplifying Coaching and the Human Behind the Coach. And she's also the recipient of the 2022 Outstanding Contribution to Coaching Award from the Henley Business School. So Claire, before we talk coaching, tell me about your own journey in brief.
That's such a good question. Mm-hmm. Which bit of the journey? I guess I found myself once I got to university. I didn't really find myself before that. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing about finding myself when I got to university was that I found myself, but I also found I was on the wrong course.
Okay.
And in those days, because education was free, I just stuck it out. So I did a degree in applied statistics, which didn't interest me and which I wasn't very good at. But it enabled me to become a maths teacher, which I absolutely loved. And the maths teaching took me to Kenya, where I taught in a Harambe school for a couple of years. That brought me back to the UK. And the first job that I got was coaching. And it wasn't called coaching, but it was coaching.
Wow.
And the human bit of me is I was born. Yeah, I've lived all over the place. And I now live in the beautiful hills in Malvern.
Oh, wonderful.
In the UK.
How wonderful. And, you know, you said that you went to Kenya and came back. So have you been a coach ever since? Or did you do something else in between?
It's the only job I've ever had. So I started coaching in 1987.
Wow. That's well before, as you would say, people on the other side of the pond even discovered what coaching was.
Well, the funny thing was, I didn't know that's what I was doing. Mm.
Wonderful.
It was called work counseling, but it wasn't counseling because it was future focused, it was optimistic, it was helping people think about stuff. It was everything that we now know is coaching. Mm. But I never used to be able to tell anybody what I did.
Well said.
Because they didn't understand and the name didn't work. So yeah, it was really interesting.
Fascinating. So, Claire, you've also written a book which is titled Simplifying Coaching. Can you explain to me the concept of simplifying coaching and its importance in your practice?
Well, the importance is you said you love books. Mm-hmm. And many coaches are learning junkies. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I notice as a coach mentor, so I listen to coaches a lot coaching, and I also do training and I watch people working. When you know a lot of things, you are having all the time a three-way conversation. So you're having a conversation with the person that you're coaching, and then you're also having a conversation with your beautiful bucket of knowledge. And I was for years, I was going, it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. Insight and knowledge is really important. Mm-hmm. But actually, when it sabotages the dialogue because it gets in the way, I think it's not useful at all. So I'd been running a training course since 2002, and was never going to write it in a book because every single time I delivered the course, we took something out. So the handouts for the first course were really thick, and then each time they got thinner and thinner and thinner till they were really thin. And so one day, McGraw-Hill, the publisher, I met Laura, their editor, at a conference, and she said, do you want to write a book for us? And I said, well, I have got one, but I wasn't really planning to write it. So yeah, there you are. That's why I wrote it.
Fascinating. And, you know, in all the work that you are doing with different kinds of coaches and different organizations, what are some of the common misconceptions about coaching that you have encountered?
That's a great question. I mean, there's always the battle between coaching is showing you how to do it and telling you what to do versus coaching is facilitating you to think. So that's a misconception, I think, that comes from the customer. I think the misconception that comes from the coach is that I have to add value, and to add value, I have to do special things. And actually, for me, we add value when somebody really gets into some deep thinking that causes transformational change.
Right.
And that isn't shiny. And it's often the silence.
Yep. Well said. Well said. And Claire, how do you approach setting goals with your coaches? And how do you measure the success of the program that you are running with your coachee?
Oh, that's such a good thing. So a lot of the work I do is single session coaching, and the goal is some kind of shift. And, you know, the goal is never the goal, is it? The work is never the work.
Yep.
So for me, the most important thing is that we set a future focused and optimistic direction and that they're moving in that direction. And I think the measure is often coming from what we see rather than what we hear. So I was running a training course yesterday or the day before, and I was watching some people working, and she's going like this, and it's all very difficult and slow. And suddenly, not a lot of words changed, but the sound of the conversation was light, and the person was smiling. And what was really clear was that something had changed. And, you know, if something changes, then something else changes, and then something else changes. So for me, it's about really being future focused and optimistic and supporting people to move forward. So I don't know, Mr. Love's books. I don't know if you've read The Progress Principle by Teresa Amabile and Kramer.
No, I haven't.
Don't put it on your list. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can if you like, but it's one of those books which has one really, really important point. Mm-hmm. And the important point in that book is that any progress is progress. So if people begin to move, they'll continue to move. So that's kind of my philosophy, because I think how people will know things are changing and how they feel as things are changing is much right. deeper change than a thing I've got on my list that I'm not going to do.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, when I was preparing my conversation with you, there's an interesting phrase of systemic thinking that I picked up in what you had sent to me. So my question is, how do you integrate systemic thinking into your coaching practice?
That's a good question. So we're never doing one-to-one coaching. Because even when I'm in a dialogue with you, I love the fact you've got the world behind you. Because you're you in your family, in your workplace, in the world. I'm me in my family, in my workplace, in the world, with the people that I work with. So there are always other people in the conversation. So actually, I do it in a really simple way, because I can't deal with too much complexity. So for me, I notice with the person I'm in dialogue with, who else is in the room. So and what do we need to be paying attention to, and how do we acknowledge the system, the other things that are going on, at the same time as really making sure that we're doing the work that we need to do. So do you know, often it means moving stuff. It's that simple. So for example, if we were in a conversation and you said, oh, there's so much going on in my workplace, it's getting in the way of my thinking, I might say to you, how about we put your workplace down over here for a minute? Let's acknowledge that there's a lot going on in your work. Let's put it down, and then let's work out what we need to do. And then let's work out what we need to do with the workplace,
right.
which is the nearest random thing that I can find. Because that enables us to recognize that we are, everything is in connection without getting lost in it. And I do absolutely so love the fact the world's behind you. But if we got lost in talking about the places that we can see on the map behind you, we wouldn't do the right, we wouldn't do the work we need to do. And we need to acknowledge that the world is here and that we are in the world.
Great response. Thank you. My next question is that, you know, and I've always seen when I coach, there is always some kind of a resistance that one tends to face with some of the coaches. How do you handle challenging situations?
You know, nobody's ever asked me that before. I so have an answer. So it's like an unexploded bomb, isn't it? Especially if the resistance comes at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, the person who says to you, you say, what would you like to think about today? And they say, I've been thinking about it for 100 years and coaching has never worked before. I name it straight away, because if I make it my responsibility, then I will be doing all sorts of strange things to try and get us in partnership. So I'll just say, what do we need to do differently today so that that doesn't happen? When I did my one of my credentialing exams, I had to phone a coach in the States and do a live coaching call. And this person said to me, when I said, what would you like to think about? They said, I've been thinking about this for 30 years and never moved it forwards. And I'm thinking, this is my coach. This is my coaching exam.
Right.
So I said, what do we need to do differently today so that you're not thinking about it for the next 30 years? And you know, it shifted. And it shifted not because of that question. It shifted because we shared the responsibility for the work between us. And I think often in resistance, what happens is you resist, I work harder, then you work less hard, then I think you're resisting more, then I think about value and performance, and then I do more and more and more, and you do less and less and less. And then I'm going, why didn't he do anything? So getting that balance right, I think, for me, needs to happen right in the very first minute. And also, I'll say to people, you don't have to be here, you know. If you don't want to do this work, you don't have to be here.
Well said. And my next question is, you also use a term which is effective coaching. How do you define effective coaching? And what is the difference between any other form of coaching and effective coaching?
I didn't know that I used that word.
But
I think coaching is effective when somebody feels heard, and when they get new insights into their own stuff that is going to move them forward. That's when it's effective, because it's doing something.
Right.
I don't mean that. It's having some kind of impact. Whereas there are lots of kinds of coaching that are about what the coaching looks like, but don't, they're intended to have an impact. But sometimes I think the profession can get lost in the beauty of this. You know, I've got Zoom written here because we're on Zoom. You know, you decide to call it Zoomability coaching, and then everybody wants to do Zoomability coaching.
Yep.
By the way, listeners, I made that up. But, and then everybody's trying to do that. But actually, then it all looks like that. But for me, coaching is effective if it moves somebody forward in their thinking.
Well
and
said.
It doesn't need to look beautiful.
Well said. You also talk about the concept of true partnership in coaching.
Yeah.
Help me understand the meaning of true partnership between a coach and a coachee. And what should a coachee expect out of this partnership?
So we're two people working together. And one of us isn't more special than the other. You know, we're two people having a conversation right now, and neither of us is more special than the other. We have an equality in the way that we're having a dialogue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I actually don't even like the word coachee. I like the word person. Because I'm a person having a conversation with you. So I think I think what the people we coach need to expect is they need to expect to come and do some work.
Right.
So when I'm training coaches or people using coaching at work, one of the things I often say to them is, please stop using the word coaching in the conversations that you're having with these people, because they don't know what it is. Or they think they know what it is and it's not what you think it is. And you just get yourself into all sorts of mess. But actually, if you say to somebody, what's your question today? And what's the work you'd like to do today? Then they get what coaching is. And then we're in partnership, because then we're doing the work together. So what I think is really important is that all I'm doing as a coach is I am facilitating somebody else to do some good thinking. But when I'm doing all the work, I'm not facilitating you to do any thinking. It's like I'm doing a little performance and you're going, oh, look, she's really good. But actually, it doesn't matter what my performance looks like. What matters is what changes in you.
Right.
And I think often by accident, the coach will move out of partnership and do too much because they're worried, you know, that person's going to say, I'm not very good. So it's a dance.
Very interesting. I have time for two or three more questions for you, Claire. My next question is, can you share an example of a transformative moment that you have witnessed in a coaching session? And I, of course, don't want any names.
I have got such a good example, and it only happened a few weeks ago. And it will be completely confidential because I don't know what the conversation was about. So the person arrived for coaching, single session. We do know each other and we have worked together in different ways over a long time. But they sent me a message and they said, I need to have a coaching session. So they arrived and I said, what do you want to think about? And they said, it's complicated. I've thought about it a lot. I've got these two things that are all tangled up. So I said, do you want to tell me what the two things are, or shall we just do some work without? Because you don't need to tell me if you don't want to. And they said, I don't want to tell you because it's going to get in the way, because that's what's in the way. I said, that's fine. So the whole work was about disentangling these two things that I don't know about.
Right.
And we were standing up. We were working online. We were standing up. We were moving around the room. I was moving around this room. They were moving around that room. They were still. I was moving. I was still. They were moving. And really big things moved. You could see the insight in their body. And at the end of the hour, I thought to myself, I probably only use 60 or 100 words today.
Wow.
And they did all the work. And at the end, they went, I am so clear. I do now know what the thing was, but because they chose to tell me. But the thing that was extraordinary about the transformation is that it's my best example. It's lovely that it's recent. I think it's my best. Well, it's the one I can remember.
What a great example. Thank you.
But when we trust somebody to do their own good work and we stand with them in the really hard bits and we don't know what to do or say, and I didn't know what to do or say because I didn't know what we were talking about. Because we weren't really talking. We were kind of looking together at the thing.
Right.
That would be my best example at the moment. And I really hope that if we were to meet in 3 months' time and you were to say, what's your best example? That wouldn't be it.
Absolutely. I agree. It's very dynamic when you are a coach.
Yeah.
Because you're meeting such amazing people.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. So time for two more questions. My next question is about your book, The Human Behind the Coach, and I can see the book over your right shoulder. What is the key message that you want readers to take away from your book, The Human Behind the Coach?
The key message is it's not all about the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Great coaching is not about more stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about being able to be courageous, being able to sit with not knowing, really, really people feeling that we're really okay with all of this.
Hmm.
And I wrote it with Lucia Baldelli because I was mentoring her, and I said, I think the work we're doing would make a great book. Although the book we ended up writing isn't the book we started writing, but that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, when I wrote Simplifying Coaching, quite a number of coaches were talking to me and saying, we really think this is the way to go, but we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a chapter on humility, because actually we need to be the smallest person in the room. Mm-hmm. Says she, endlessly talking about herself on your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in a coaching conversation, we need... I'm in touch with a company that train people using my kind of... this philosophy, really. And one of the delegates on their course said recently, I understand what coaching is. Coaching is going from hero to zero.
Mm.
So when we want to be the hero, it doesn't work. So that's what the book's for, really. The book is to enable... So there's a chapter on humility. So the first half of the book is about what needs to change inside us. And the second half of the book is, what does that look like and sound like in the coaching space?
Very interesting. Thank you. Claire, my last question to you. We've got a very large number of people who listen to our conversation. Over 150,000 people listen to us every day. A lot of them are very young people. So my question to you is, what is one piece of advice you would like to give to our viewers and listeners who are considering coaching as a tool for personal or professional growth?
Don't learn too much.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Because doing less means that the person that you're working with does more.
Right.
And really see it as a partnership.
Mm.
My mother, in fact, my mother died. She died from COVID, actually. But she used to say, when I was a child, visitors first. You may have that in your family system. You know, she'd say, so if people came around to eat, visitors first. And I want to say to anybody who's coaching, especially if you're just starting out and you're young, because this is the moment to form some really amazing habits.
Right.
It doesn't have to be complicated. And let the other person go first, because they have their own wisdom and they know. You just need to support them to work out how to think this thing through. So don't do too much.
Yeah, thank you. And on that note, and your amazing lesson, don't learn too much, keep it simple. Thank you, Claire, for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of coaching. I love the different perspectives you gave me on simplifying coaching, on true partnership, and also what you talked to me about your book, The Human Behind the Coach. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.